when Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, he said to her that God, his Father, was seeking a people who would worship him in spirit and truth. In spirit and truth. Genuine worship. See, Lord gets a bit sick of fake worship, doesn't he? Fake worship is giving credit you don't really believe is warranted. Sort of God saying, they're near me with their mouths, but their heart is far from me. But as you know, and I'm sure you're aware, that worship is actually a response to something that makes us say, wow. Isn't that right? That's what worship is. Seeing the worth of something. It's appreciation of something. So to truly worship God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we need to know something about him. We need to understand him, at least to some degree. Now, the next time that worship's mentioned in the book of John, after John 4, is in John 9. And Jesus heals the man with the blind man. He puts clay on his eyes and sends him off. And that's the last he sees of him and for a little while. And in the meantime, that chap's, his eyes are healed and he could see. And the Jewish authorities grab him and say, how did that happen? And he explains it. And in the end, they toss him out because he knows that this was a sinner can't do this kind of stuff. And after he'd been tossed out, Jesus came and found him again. And Jesus says to him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, the blind man now healed didn't know who he was talking to. And he said, well, who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you are seeing him and he is talking with you now. That's a funny way to put it, isn't it? You're seeing him and he's talking with you now. And what did the blind man now healed do then? Do you know what he did? He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Just those two words, he worshipped Jesus. Now, was that an appropriate thing to do? Was it appropriate for the man to do that? Yes or no? Absolutely. Completely appropriate. Why? Oh, but before we ask that, was it hard to do? Do you think he found it really hard to whip himself up to do that? Did he? Not at all. It was so appropriate. It was perfectly natural. The man believed, in contrast with the religious authorities. He came to understand that Jesus was the genuine article, that he was the Messiah. And secondly, he appreciated, he came to understand something of the wonder of Jesus. He experienced what Jesus could do, and now he could see we'd never been able to see before. Now, did he know everything about Jesus yet? Did he? No. But tell me, the more he would come to understand about the wonder of who Jesus is, what he was going to do, do you think he would have any trouble worshipping Jesus? He wouldn't have had any trouble at all, would he? It'd be so natural. It's a response to what he knows. My point in today's message is the more we understand our God and what he has done, the more we will be enabled to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God's provided us with a resource to enable that. There it is. I so often take it for granted, don't you? You know, you're sort of, oh, have I got my Bible? But we are so blessed. God has given us this so that we might know, we might understand, and that we might be able to, in fact, worship in spirit and in truth. Well, Psalm 119 is a long prayer in 22 sections, one for each of the ones. Each section begins with the one Hebrew letter, so it actually works as an acrostic, which is probably very helpful for Jews who wanted to memorize the book. Because there's an awful lot, 176 verses, 8 verses, and 22 lots of 8 verses is 176. So it's a wonderful, long prayer. And it's the prayers of an earnest man who is afflicted. He wants to worship Yahweh, excuse me, appropriately. He wants to live close to his God. He wants to walk well before his God. And I'll call him our writer for short. And our writer, this one, acknowledging in this one all-encompassing concluding prayer in verse 175, second last verse. Let my soul live and praise you. Let your rules help me. God's word is actually going to help him to praise God. Now you'll note in the psalm, first of all, it's personal. It's not we and us, it's all I and me. So there is a right place for personal godly devotion. In Hebrews 3:13 it says, but exhort one another, and it's a fellowship, today, exhort one another. Today, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We individually need to be walking with God. And so this is a personal prayer. Secondly, it's not analytical. He's not talking about praise. He isn't saying, oh Lord, isn't it interesting? It's an interesting concept. Sort of like talking about marriage, isn't it? Isn't marriage an interesting concept when you talk about that to your wife? So that's how I got engaged. But the writer here, he wants the joy of living and enjoying God himself. The next thing about it is each, especially in this last set of stanzas, it's very passionate. He's really, in fact, these last 8 verses are the most passionate out of the whole psalm. And every prayer, because there are 8 individual prayers, refers to God's word in some aspect. And today we're going to look at basically 3 of them. And they come in these 3 categories. So the instruction, teaching, precepts and rules, that's one category. Basically understanding God, life and so on. The second category is promises, where God ties himself faithfully to us by these words. Promises are tied together with the fact that God is faithful. And finally, statutes or commands. Now, God doesn't command us things ad hoc. He tells us to be holy. Why? For I am holy. Maintain integrity because that's the way I am. Be loving because that's the way I am. It's not, you know, separate individual commands, you know, that are separate from God himself. They are that way because that's the way God is. And so when we look at commands, you don't say, well, the Ten Commandments as though it's separate from God. It's not. It's an expression of God himself. Now, the last thing I'd say about overall is that the writer he's being serious in his communication to Yahweh. Absolutely serious. And he's being very serious about Yahweh's communication to him. Every verse does that. So let's see what we can learn from our godly Old Testament writer as he speaks his heart to God. First and foremost, he wants the Lord to help him to understand. Look at verse 169. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Notice it's personal. It's my cry. It's direct. O Lord, not via somebody else. And it's earnest. It's a cry. It's not a casual request. The request now, give me understanding. Now, it's not specific, is it? It doesn't say specific for something, anything in particular. It just says, give me understanding. Let's God fill in the rest, if you will. But obviously it'd be related to understanding God, his character and purposes, and in fact everything that God himself wants the writer to apprehend, to understand. You can see God watching down from heaven saying, oh, I wish he knew that, you know, as he goes into this situation. Wouldn't that be, you know, kind of, if you were watching like God watches, oh, if only, you know, if only he'd read. He's asking for understanding. Just to understand whatever the Lord knows he needs to understand. And how is he going to get it? Well, it's according to your word. That's the source. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, you could take according to your word not only as the source, you could also take it according to your word as being according to your promise. God, you promised. You know, when you give somebody your word, what are you doing? You're promising them something. So that can be taken appropriately both ways. And it's right to do so. All right. Now, one thing that's very helpful is that within the psalm itself, there are similar prayers. So I'm just going to read some out to you with a brief pause between each one. Verse 24 of Psalm 119. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counsellors. Is that going to help me grow in understanding? 27. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. 34. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe in your commandments. 130. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. 105, many of you will know. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word gives us understanding. Now, the Apostle Paul understood this principle, didn't he? We had two readings, and here's how it goes. For this reason, Paul said, and he prays like this, for this reason, because I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering in you in my prayers. Now, what does he pray for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his great might. Paul's praying that they would know that stuff, to really know the gospel in its depth, not in a superficial way. He wants them to get the depth of it. And he's praying for that. So when you look at the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters are all the gospel and all of its wonder. Guess how he starts the verse of chapter 4. He says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, according to the gospel. Live worthy. He does the same in Romans 12. Appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or spiritual worship. Our response to the gospel is a life that is worthy. Now, did you just pray that for one lot? We prayed it in the Colossians 1 too. And I've been praying this for myself for years and years. Last 20 at least. And so from the day we heard it, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking, what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Get that. All spiritual wisdom and understanding, filled with it. That's what God wants for you and for me. And what's the result? Verse 10 is lovely. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord.